We're going to be having communion at the end of our service, and I want to encourage you to keep that in your mind because of the fact that we are the body of Christ. And when we talk about we this morning, it's those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, have received Him as our Savior, and we are understanding what our relationship is in Him so that we can walk in this world. So in the last few weeks, we've been looking at who we are, and where we've come from is another question, which is, where did we come from to be where we are today? We were speaking out of Ephesians chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago to start this series, and we are continuing in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll read that for us. I think we've got it behind me here. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love for which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And may God bless His word to us and our understanding this morning as we continue in this. Title, of course, is From Death to Life in Christ. And we've been looking at particularly in or with Christ as key in what Paul has been putting forth in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians. Depending on how you count, in which version you have, there are many verses there that say with Christ, in Christ. And so we are getting the hint, the understanding that we have a greater identity of, well, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, we introduced ourselves, but there's something deeper, there's something more about us than just our name and where we came from. And we may have come from UCLA, and that makes Dave very, very happy. But those of us that aren't from UCLA, we're kind of left out in the cold. I'm sorry about that, Dave, but anyway. I'm from Seattle Pacific. Nobody's ever heard of that university. You have. Great. Did you go there? Oh, very good. God's country, right? Yeah. Anyway, who are we? And where were we? is our first, or the question this afternoon, or this morning. Remember last time we talked about the fact that Paul begins his letter saying, the saints who are at or in Tokyo. Well, I mean, it was Ephesus in his day, but today, in our circumstances, it's Tokyo. And you know, there's a lot of similarity between Tokyo and ancient Ephesus. There really is. It was the commercial center for the Roman Empire in that time of Paul. Tokyo is a significant commercial center in the world. Not as much as what it was back in the 80s, but nonetheless, it still holds great significance. And not just on the commercial money side of it, but also in terms of influencing the world. We raised our kids here in Japan, two boys and a girl. We had no problem with the boys, but our daughter, after being here in Japan, she said, I can't go back to America. I don't know what to wear. I don't know what they're wearing back there. She was a teenager. And we said, well, don't worry about it. Japan has got the best fashions. And you'll be really in. No, I don't think so. Japan is, you know, anyway. She got there. And she was very popular. No, she didn't have these. I'll go show your shoes. No, she didn't. I'm sorry to pick you up. No, we didn't have those back there, but we did have, particularly the gals, but also the guys were just, you know, Japanese guys when they went to the States, they were in. They were cool back in those days. So Tokyo is significant. It affected how the rest of the world thought back in the late 90s. And that is similar to what was happening in Ephesus. And so the church that was raised up in Ephesus was in the same kind of environment that we are. And we sometimes think that this is very hard to be a Christian in Tokyo, and it is. But you know, there have been other Christians that have survived, and not only survived, they left their mark, not only on their own city, but throughout the Western world. And I think that God is calling us as the church to leave our mark in our generation. We've been praying a lot for the Japanese church. And those of you who are new, particularly with teams that are here, particularly for a year, you're going to learn that the Japanese church is struggling right now. And we've shared with some of you who have a heart for the church in Japan. And I sense that it's at its lowest ebb, more than it ever has been since after the war, World War II. The church is struggling in Japan. We need to pray for the Japanese church. They need our prayers. They are our brothers and sisters. And we have the church meeting right above us here, and we praise God for them. But we also need to focus our prayers on them as well. So let's not forget that MCC is not just international. There's a Japanese church right alongside us here, and we need to be encouraging them. And where we can, speak to them, and smile, and if they'll let you put your arm around them, and tell them that You love them. You're praying for them. Okay? Ephesus. Saints in Ephesus, saints in Tokyo. Remember we talked about saints. Almost without exception in the Bible, when it says the word saint or the noun saint, it's in the plural. So when we say, oh, he's a saint, that's not the context of what the New Testament understood it to be. It's, we are the saints. Together, we are the saints. Plural. We're saints with one another. It's not some statue of Saint Ron. Oh, wait a minute. I just about fell asleep there. We are saints together as believers in Christ. Set apart. That's what that word means. Those who are set apart, who have been separated from those in the world. That's our identity. Paul in chapter 2 then really gets into it. He starts out with, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's where we were. Before we met Christ, we were dead. And I don't think Kent's got the right... No, you don't have the right font there. Anybody got Chiller on their computer? It's a... Not on the Mac? Oh, see, that's the problem with Macs. That's too regal a font there, but I had there kind of a Chiller, a ghostly looking thing. But don't change it right now, Kent. We were dead. Literally dead. What did God say in Genesis? Don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you, or unless you might die. What did Satan say? You're not going to die. Did God say you're going to die? You're not going to die. Did they die? They died. Not right away, but right away they knew they were naked. They knew that there was something different in them. And they had aligned themselves with that serpent, Satan, to follow his suggestion against the living God. And they died. And as a result of it, as we were going through our Genesis series, look at the havoc that was spread from generation to generation to us today. And what we're experiencing in our own lives as Christians, we are in a conflict with death, and it's working in us. So much so that we come under its influence, to the point where sometimes many of us give up in despair and depression because of the fact that death is working in us because of sin and disobedience. You were dead, though, is what Paul says. You were. Oh, I love that word. You were dead. Something must have happened to make us alive. But let's just concentrate a little bit more about what death really is, in which you formerly walked. Paul talks a lot about walking. Walking means lifestyle. Don't think of it as just strolling along, but it is lifestyle. And the lifestyle that you have, what kind of a lifestyle do you have? How would you describe your lifestyle? Here in Tokyo, in Japan, from the country you come from. Does that identify who you are? We're going to think about that. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The world is dictating to us who we are. According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the snake, the serpent, Satan, and his minions are working against us. And we're working in our lives freely. And that power was the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. When Adam and Eve sinned, they started a new race. There had not been that type of human being on the earth. When they disobeyed God, Adam began a family, and that family passed on from family to family to family to family to where we are today. And there's no way to get away from it. John and Joe Beth are going to have a little one. I hope it's within this week. They really hope it's going to be this week. And, you know, God is such a merciful God. This little one that they're going to birth in this next week or so is going to be so wonderful. And I'll use this illustration once again for you old MCCers, because we've got a lot of new guests. When God created Adam, or man, in chapter 1, it says that he reached down and scooped up the dust of the earth. And he formed man. And he looked at this formation. And it says God breathed into man the breath of life. And you who know the answer, don't say so. I'm asking the crew people here. What did Adam see when he first opened his eyes as a human being? You flunk. Okay. No. What did Adam see when he opened his eyes becoming a human being? Okay, Trevor, you're the head of the team, so you just have to give us an answer. Well, you can ask Liz next to you. What did Adam see? Come on, I'm running out of time, and Dave's going to yank my cord here pretty soon. It's an easy answer. He saw God. What did he see about God? His face. He saw the face of God. He looked into the eyes of God. Trevor, make her your assistant, administrative assistant, okay? Yeah. He saw the face of God. And that has been the pursuit of man all these centuries, to see the face of God. Getting back to Joe Beth and John and their little one, I can hardly wait to watch them, particularly John, holding that little one. And he's just going to look and stare at this little one. Oh, my! His father heart is just going to be moved, locked on that little one. And we're going to watch John watching his little one. That's the way God made us, originally. To see the face of God, to look in his eye, and for him to look at us, oh, how I love you. Can you imagine? That's what God has for us. That's how God looks at us. It blows your mind thinking about it. And you being able to look back into the face of Jesus Christ to the Father through his word. That. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go on to verse 3. Among them, those who were in the world, you too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Children of wrath. What is happening on the news channels? Anybody watch news on a regular basis like I do? It is depressing. What is there? And particularly this week when up in the Northwest, so many died at Roseburg College. And some of them died because they said they were Christians. Because the man who came into the classroom and began shooting, before he'd shoot them, he'd ask, "What religion are you?" If they said they were a Christian, he'd shoot them in the head. If they said they weren't Christians, he'd shoot them in the leg. But he was full of wrath, full of anger, the children of wrath. What I like about this sentence is, among them, you too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. And last week, we heard some incredible testimonies, and we thank the Lord for those testimony Sundays that we have. We've had incredible testimonies given. And I think it's bad to do comparison, but it was one of the best this last week. It really touched right on the very issues of what I wanted to talk about this week. Indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What is it, 80 or 90% of the internet is run off of the commerce of pornography. We're worse than Ephesus. You know that you cannot even find a place to habitate in Ephesus? It is completely destroyed. Yes, there are rocks and columns that are left, but no one lives there. It's gone. And that's what will happen in every city of the world soon. Unless we repent, unless we turn, unless we seek refuge, unless we see this as we have to live a different life. God loves us so much he couldn't let us live in that state any longer. We as believers have a responsibility for the world that we live in. And let's leave our mark in Tokyo. Where are we now? Verse 4. But God. It's almost like what we studied several months ago. In the beginning, God. I think that Paul is kind of playing off of that. But God. God is in your life. God is here. He has not abandoned our city. He is here. He is with us. Being rich in mercy. Remember Jobe's baby and Adam. Mercy, love, preciousness. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even, get this now, Paul's not going to let us forget what he said in verses 1 to 3. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Oops, got to flip here. He made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, he loves us. Made us alive in Christ. Death was our fate through Adam and Eve, passed down to us. But God didn't leave us there. Death is a number one dilemma for man, and particularly so here in Japanese culture. Crew team, I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint that when you take a picture, don't have four people standing in a picture. Either take one out or put five there. You know why? Now, this is probably not in common practice now today, but Keiko-san, is this true? That the old Japanese superstition was don't have four people in a picture. Four is bad. And it used to be that there was no four on the elevator, the fourth floor. Because four, the number four is, I'm going to ask a Chinese, what is the number four? Gene. Su. In Chinese, yes. Su. Okay. Okay, what is it in Japanese? She. What's another meaning for the word she? Death. I would encourage you, if you have never been to a Japanese funeral, I mean real Japanese funeral, particularly in the countryside. I have. And it's a terrible, terrible experience to see people mourning with absolutely no hope. I have watched a young wife who lost her husband clawing on the coffin with her nails, shrieking, and then relatives trying to pull her off of the coffin. No hope. Death is our number one dilemma. All of us, it is a problem. Praise God, we're made alive together with Christ. And by grace, by his love, by his acceptance, by the pouring out of his love and revelation to us and our receiving that love, we are saved. Are you saved? Saved from the dilemma of death. Saved. I don't think that's a very popular word in our vocabulary today. Not in English. I don't think it's even in Japanese. The show? Probably not. But He saved us by His grace. And we did nothing for it other than receiving it. That's all we do, is just receive. Again, Joe Beth and John's baby. He or she, they don't know yet, by the way. I've got a guess, but Katie and I do anyway, whether it's a boy or a girl. But we won't tell you our hints, okay? But this little one, where was my point? By grace. All the little one's going to do is just receive. That's what he's going to do. He's going to bring you lots of joy, but he does, or, I'm sorry, I already told you. Oh. He's going to bring you so much joy, but he can't, all he can do is receive. That's all he can do. No, it's probably a she, you know, but that's all she can do, is just receive. And that's what we do in receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's as simple as that. Lord, save me. Come into my life. Save me from the death dilemma. That's the God that we come to. Not a God of fate and of superstition and of darkness. The God of love who shines His face on us. And we see His face. And all we do is receive that grace. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing yourself to us. Okay, next point. And He raised us up with Him. Well, we think that maybe back, going back to the first point there, made us alive together with Christ. That is resurrection? No, it is not. But raised us up with Him? This word raised up, really in the context of what Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49, you want to write that in the notes, you can look it up later, has to do with not so much of resurrection as it does of when we plant a seed in the ground and we water it and we put a little, maybe a little fertilizer around it, and then the roots go down and a sprout comes up. It's that kind of raised. God comes into your life. Something happens inside of you. And you begin to grow. Spiritual life is like a seed. It's that kind of raised that He's talking about. Raised us up with Him. So it's Christ in our life that produces what makes us to be identified as, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, don't want to mess with her. She's a Christian. so that we become very obviously different from the sons of disobedience around us. We're raised up with Him. And then it says, and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that speaks of authority. That speaks of the fact that Jesus came and overcame sin and death and became for us the Savior of the whole world. And He set the order in place for everyone who would come and confess His name and receive Him. Jesus Christ has the authority to do that. He has the authority from heaven, from God the Father, to do that for us. It's, I hate to say this, but it's a natural supernaturalism. It's a natural process of receiving Jesus Christ into your life. Life springs up and you have authority. You have the ability, not on your own, but because of your identification with Jesus Christ, to produce life and light to those around you. Let your light so shine. That's not an accident that the author says that. Let your life so shine that men would see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's who we are. That's who we have become. Let's move on to the third point. No, I forgot one. So that in the ages to come, did you get it? Okay, thanks, Kent. Boy, you're right on there. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, watch this, or listen to this. We're God's favorite people. Have you ever heard that? Well, maybe you're in the right church then if you haven't heard that. I'm God's special kid. You're all pan-faced. Nobody's saying, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. There are some who are preaching that we are just so special. No, we're not. Other than the fact that we're in Jesus Christ. Who is special? Jesus Christ is special. He's the special one that makes us special. It's in that order. And so if you're thinking, oh God, like for instance, the Brennans last night, oh God, help me get on the bus and get on the plane because I'm your kid. No, that's not why God allowed them to get on the bus in time to get onto the plane. I believe that He was working through Jesus Christ in Dan and Carolyn's dilemma, the situation that they were in. And we as Christians sometimes get that attitude that we're special. And we are. But we're special because of Him, of Jesus Christ. The Father loves the Son. That's who we are. Any amens around here? Or you're, well, I know you're not Pentecostal, but no, we are truly special because of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be, we're going to take off our crowns and we'll lay them at the feet of Jesus, the Lamb, and worship Him because He has come and become our elder brother. That's why we are here in Tokyo. That's why people, when they look at us, oh, isn't she just a model of a Christian? No. Jesus Christ is the one. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's what will carry you through in your Christian walk and maturing. Okay, let's go on to the third point. How and why we got here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is the first verse I ever memorized from the Bible. And it was the week after I accepted Jesus Christ. And that's my favorite verse. Actually, 8, 9, and 10 are my life verse. Do you have a life verse? If you don't, I recommend these three. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of... not as a result of works. Okay, get this. We talked about this last time. Works is a word that comes up often in Scripture. It actually has two implications, that same word, works. There's good works, and there's works of evil, or of just out of our humanness. The good works that the Bible talks about are talking about the life that we have in Jesus Christ that is coming out in good works. We're big here in Japan on works and being kind and saying the right words and bowing and doing the right things. I mean, it's incredible. Japanese society has perfected being polite. Now, you don't have to be here too long until you find out that it's just a skin. Very thin. But as far as good works, this is a happy place to live, by and large. I've been in several countries of the world, and I choose Japan over any other country and culture. It's a nice place to live. It's a safe place to live. I know a girl who rides her bike 2 hours across Tokyo in the middle of the night, and she doesn't worry about it. She's smiling right now, but I won't look that way. You couldn't do that even in my town, Linden, Washington, 12,000 people. It's not safe, but it is in Japan, at least so far. But that's because of human works, human systems. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. And that's what the funny characters are all about up there. It really counts for nothing. In fact, if that's where you're living your life and you think you're a Christian, that's all going to burn up. It's all going to be gone. Like that. Gone. We are not to boast in good works. That is not what saves us. God is not looking down there and saying, oh, he's a good Christian because he did this. No, he's saying, He is my child because he walks in the power and love of my Son, Jesus. Those works, the works that we do in Christ Jesus, that is what will last. And any other of this will just burn up like that and be gone. And you'll have nothing left to show for it. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have no grounds to boast. Period. I can't say, well, yeah, I'm a good Christian. What? How could you say that? If you really understand the dynamics of the life in Jesus Christ. He is good. He's the one that produces in me what I could not do for myself or for anybody else. How about another amen? And verse 10 then is the capstone. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those works that come out of his workmanship in our lives. He is working in us to will and do what his Son would do. Jesus said, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. And so we will actually, we have this opportunity to allow his life to flow through us. Is it getting a little hot in here? I've got to quit anyway here, but I'm getting a little hot. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Get this, which God prepared beforehand. You would think that when you act, that is when it happens. Not in God's economy. He's already prepared for you. Now, I hate to keep using the crew team, but you're going to be here for a year. What are you going to do? You know that God already has appointments for you. He has people that he specially picked out for you to meet and to be showing and telling Jesus Christ to them in your poor Japanese. But you've got a... Where's Christina? Oh, yeah. You've got a great leader here. So listen to what Christina says, and you'll be at least 50% right. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's going to be his life in us that counts. When you go to work, when you're in your classroom, when you're talking with your neighbors, when you're having coffee with your friends, when there's times that people are hurting and they need somebody to pray for them and with them. By the way, Japanese are very open to being prayed for and to receive prayer. Capitalize on that. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Japanese believe in prayer. Even Christian prayer. Is that right, Ace? So don't be afraid to just go up to somebody on the street. Can I pray for you? Well, don't be that bold, but I mean, if the Holy Spirit leads you to do that, do it. Because God has prepared beforehand for you to do that. And Katie and I just love being back in Japan, where we can just meet anybody in a restaurant And Katie's smile will attract him. That's the human side. That'll all burn up, Katie. But then we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. And her smile does, it's the bait. That's what got me too, by the way. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. God use you and bless you in this society, in this culture, in this Ephesus. He desires for us to be Himself out as we spread through this week into wherever we are. Because I go to the Father, we will be able to do this in Him who is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Lord bless you. Oh, I just forgot one other phrase. It's in big bold letters here on my notes. So that we would walk in them. Did you have that up there before I... Good guy. Walk is lifestyle. And we're going to go into our communion now together. Communion actually is a portrayal of what happened before Jesus went to the cross. The good works that were prepared beforehand by the Father, Jesus demonstrated through the breaking of the bread and serving of the wine, the grape juice. And that is the good works that Jesus Christ did beforehand, demonstrating to us His poured out life, His broken body on our behalf.